Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. I hope you had a fantastic week. Mine was very, very busy with work. So I'm really excited to head to Naples, Florida to be with my dad and Joyce for Passover and relax a little bit. So this is being recorded just a day or two early, so will not be including Summer House in this. But I will share my thoughts on Summer House Martha's Vineyard. So the episode starts out with this argument between Jordan and Summer. And, you know, Jordan is not feeling like herself. She's been losing her hair. She's very vulnerable. She's very upset about it. And I think, you know, Summer is feeling that some of it's like coming off to her a little. I don't know. I couldn't really understand exactly why they were upset with each other. But Jordan, at least in Summer's defense, has a little bit of like a resting bitch face and kind of always looks like she's upset. And I know she doesn't probably mean it that way, but she, you know, doesn't always seem to give off this like easy-go-lucky kind of vibe that a lot of the rest of them give up when they're at least hanging out in a group. But finally, Jordan does open up to the group about her alopecia. And it is really incredible how she really just shows how she's feeling. She doesn't seem to do that very often. And Alex, you know, thanks her for sharing and says he felt like he understood her more and learned more about her in that one conversation than all of the previous season. And Jordan gets pissed at him because she's like, no, the reason that we had an issue last season is because how you treated my friend Shanice. And I had totally forgotten about this, but it was Alex who brought up on camera all the stuff with Shanice allegedly stalking her ex. And it turns out that didn't happen, that it was thrown out of court, and that her ex is still going after her and trying to sue her and make her life miserable, which can explain why Shanice always wants to let loose and all of that. So yeah, I felt bad for Shanice. I think she really didn't want this to come up on camera. I think everyone was pissed at Alex for bringing it up on camera. And he used this whole, like, he is such a little shitster. He's like, well, I wanted you to be able to get in front of it and own your narrative, which is what, like, it's like such a Kyle Richards move. Like, we're bringing it up so you can talk about it. But I don't know. He really is so judgy of others. And he's like, oh, I'm so perfect and I don't drink and I meditate and I'm vegan and I'm better than all of you, but I'm not going to have any honest relationships with women and I'm going to be pissed that they have any sort of expectation for me when we are dating. Speaking of dating, Noelle opens up about why she was so upset at the rejection she got from Alex, which stems from her not having a relationship with her father. And that was just very vulnerable of her. It seems like anytime she has any sort of rejection, it goes back to that core first rejection in life. And she's still not able to make sense of why her dad, you know, doesn't want to be a part of her life. And I feel for her on that. I think she has been so honest and open. She is a fantastic reality star. She is interesting to watch, and I am always rooting for her. And then finally, like, the other big thing is that Bria is still upset with Jasmine for buying a plane ticket for Mariah to come visit them. And she did that before she asked for everyone's permission, including Bria's. And of course, last year there was this whole, you know, dust up where Amir did some laundry and accidentally some of Milo, the dog's, I don't know, bedding or something got mixed in with Mariah's laundry. And she thinks it was gross that the dog stuff touched her stuff and she was really upset about it. And there was an altercation between her and Bria and she ended up being kicked off the island, literally. So we'll see what happens next week. I do feel so bad for Jasmine, though, because she is pregnant and her husband is deployed and she hasn't opened up to anyone about being pregnant. So I feel like she's going through this whole experience that is, you know, her hormones are probably all over the place and she's so isolated and isn't talking about it. And yeah, I feel like she must be very overwhelmed. So my heart goes out to her. I wish she had entered the season on better terms with all the ladies. It was kind of weird to me that they went the whole off season without really hashing things out and talking about what went wrong between her and some of the women. So my hope is that this season they all get on track and they are supportive of her and she is friends with them again. All right, guys, I have such a fun guest on this week's episode. His name is Jose Ramirez. We met at the fashion show that we were at a couple weeks ago at the Westfield Montgomery County Mall with Ashley Darby. It was fabulous. He was fabulous. We had such a nice time. His audio in the beginning isn't amazing. And so about 20 minutes in, I'm like, hey, why don't you take out your AirPods? And it gets a little better. So if you're annoyed by the audio just for the first little bit, stick through it. We have such a fun conversation. We talk about Potomac. We get into Vanderpump Rules and then, of course, the Valley. And, you know, as always, if you guys enjoy this podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. If you want to get in touch with me, go ahead and reach out on Instagram. Actually, one of the listeners and someone who I met in Vegas at BravoCon saw me at my dog's doggy daycare, at Stassi's doggy daycare, and she brings her dog there and was like, hey, were you like in DC at this doggy daycare? And yeah, we're going to have to meet up and get drinks because that is so, so funny. So if you do think that you see me in the wild, please do come up and say hi. I'm not scary, I promise. All right, we will take a quick break and then back with Jose. Hi, everyone. I am here with Jose Ramirez, who is a DC-based realtor. He also appeared on the HBO dating show 12 Dates of Christmas, and I met him at the fabulous fashion show in the Westfield Montgomery County Mall a few weeks ago. How are you doing, Jose?
I'm good, Mandy. How are you doing? I know we had such a blast at that fashion show, honestly.
We were sitting next to each other. I was like, this is actually really fun. I don't know what I was expecting.
I was really excited to like sit next to somebody who was so kind from the very beginning.
Aww.
You look gorgeous as well in your pink florals. and yeah, I mean, you were just very welcoming, you know? So it was really exciting to meet somebody like that. And I think we established somewhere that week. I think we probably briefly met at BravoCon, but we just didn't really realize it at the time,
yeah.
I guess.
You're like, you look familiar. I'm like, I have no idea who you are.
But, it happens.
Well, no, I think there is, we were at, I think I can establish exactly where I met you, which was at the Paris Hotel at the bar the last night of BravoCon. You were with Christian Grey Snow and like John Blizzard was there. And I was on the other side of the bar with Brian J. Moylan.
Yes.
And then at some point, we said hi, and I think we all introduced ourselves, but it wasn't like a long conversation.
Yes, yes. I remember that precisely, because that was like the place where we would all kind of gather after either like Bravo Palooza or whatever it is, Watch What Happens Live, you know, everyone kind of go gather there. It was really fun. I had such a blast there.
And then you told me that you got into Watch What Happens Live because John Hill gave up his ticket because his dog was in his backpack and they wouldn't let his dog into the theater. And I was like, that was you?
I thought it was just a bag that they wouldn't let in. So, you know, one of my good friends is Steven Krugel. He's based by Bravo. And so he has a relationship with John Hill. I don't know John Hill personally. And so we were basically looking for a ticket for me because I wasn't able to get them when they were released. You know how that frenzy, the ticket frenzy was, right? And so we're kind of just like waiting for a ticket. We're like, this is never going to happen. And then John Hill couldn't get in. And he gave the ticket to Stephen, which he already had a ticket. So Stephen gave it to me.
That is really nice. So funny, because I remember hearing the story. I think it was on Radio Andy, or like how he just never even ended up going into the theater.
He's lost my game.
Okay, so we were just talking before I started recording about how Monday, April 15th, in addition to being tax day, and I believe the Boston Marathon day, was this like Bravo Red wedding. What happened?
Don't know what's in the water at Bravo HQ or who's producing behind the scenes, but I mean, I think the most shocking news to me was the whole Alexia and Todd of it all, right? Same. What would you say? I mean, what do you make of that?
I think that he didn't like appearing on the show.
You think?
I think.
I never got a sense of that, but I could see that now.
There was a huge difference between this past season and the season before, where he was like leaning in. And then I wonder if there was a backlash like with his work, or that was like not looked upon favorably to be on a reality show. He didn't seem to want to film that much this past season. It seemed like the fact that they were moving was weird. Why would you be moving? And I think there were maybe some issues. You know, I don't know if they were financial. I don't know if they were whatever they were, but something seemed amiss. Not terrible, but also the previous year he was at BravoCon and this year he was not.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, to be honest. But you know, back to the whole thing about being on reality TV. I mean, we did see that happen, you know, with Whitney's husband, for example, on Salt Lake City, you know. They didn't like what he was doing on television, and sadly, they let him go from his position, which was televised. You know, this whole kind of debacle, right? So I could definitely see that being a thing that maybe happened with Todd as well. But you know what? Looking back and just like thinking back on this whole saga with them, I hate to say it, but I almost kind of feel like he might have been using her a little bit. I hate to say that, and I feel like. I mean, I don't know Alexia personally. I don't know her. I've never met her. I don't know if they have a prenup. You know what I mean? Like,
they
I don't
did.
Know what's going on. They did? Okay, good. Good. Because, like, but that's just the weird feeling I get, you know? But I could be completely off base. You know, that's, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. Her whole life is such a telenovela, you know?
It's so sad. Yeah.
And I wish her the best. Personally am just very interested to see her next season and see how her friends rally around her side of things. And, you know, I don't know. I want her to be happy with herself without a man, because I feel like she's had men treat her wrong, or she's chosen the wrong men. Like, her first husband was this big-time drug smuggler. Second husband was not into women. Yep. Third husband, who knows what happened there. But there may be, like, a recurring theme of her kind of going after men that are never able to give her what she deserves and needs.
And I'm always rooting for her. I mean, I love her personal story. I love her family. Most scenes with Frankie, I usually tear up one way or another, you know, because I could feel the love coming through the TV, you know, that she really like loves her children and will do anything for them. And the whole situation, you know, that part's sad on its own, right? Frankie's accident, but like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I've always been rooting for her. I hope that she comes out of this, better than ever. I don't know. You know, it could be a good thing for her. You never know.
Yeah. We shall see. We also found out Candace was pregnant, which is
baby
very,
news.
Very exciting. I'm so happy.
I'm getting a baby fever as we speak, but but no, she's, you know, obviously Candace has been wanting this for a really long time. I mean, we've been watching her IVF journey on TV. And it hasn't been the easiest, you know, and this has been, it's been kind of going on for a while now, right? Is that the case?
I don't think that she, if I can remember correctly, ever was diagnosed or had an infertility issue. I think she wanted to get embryos made that could be frozen, that could be kind of insurance if they were unable to get pregnant the old-fashioned way. And that was my understanding. So, which is a really smart thing to do at her age, to have like the younger embryos. Then, you know, so let's say she has a baby and then she wants to have a second one, that could always come in handy. But
that's very smart. Yeah, I guess now thinking back at it, that is exactly how it happened, you know. But yeah, no, good for her. I'm so excited for her. Her and Chris deserve the best. So
I do. I love that Robin came out and said she was fired. Like, I love Robin for that. The honesty.
The real one.
I mean, the only other person I feel like said that was like Teddy and Tamara. They're like, I was fired. Like that. I just appreciate the transparency.
I agree.
You know? And then now we're not sure if NECA is coming back or not.
I know. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't shocked about Robin not returning, you know? Even though I feel like Robin is a genuine person. I do feel like she cares about other people. But lately she just wasn't really giving us much, you know, with the issues with Juan and all that stuff. So I could understand why she's not coming back. It's sad to hear the rumors about NECA possibly not returning. I've met NECA in person. You've met NECA in person. She's a wonderful human. We get along really well. I see how she treats others.
Yeah.
I feel like she didn't really get a fair shot this season. And I'm a big believer, a firm believer of a first season housewife should always come back for a second season, you know, because that's when you're just kind of warming up to this. You know, most people have never filmed a reality TV show. They don't really know kind of how to navigate these waters, which aren't so easy to navigate a lot of times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I feel like Jenny Nguyen was a good exception. I feel like Diana Jenkins was a good exception.
Oh, yeah. she had to go.
She just didn't show up for any. Like, she's like, I have COVID. And then she's like looking totally fine. You know,
that was the reunion, right?
Yeah, we've seen so many people have COVID during the reunion, and they do not look like how she looked.
Yeah, she looked gorgeous, like always, but he didn't really bring anything to the season either. So
no, I even would take Anna Marie back for a year just for shits and giggles. You know,
I would too. I actually loved her performance at the reunion. You know, I thought she really laid it all out there. She had some really good points, especially when it came to like the whole Garcelle Sutton dynamic, where, you know, Anne Marie felt like Garcelle was being a little bit, what's the proper term? She's being a bit of a hypocrite in what was happening, you know? So I think she had a great performance, and I would have loved to see her back. Honestly, I think she deserved another spot back as well, but.
Yeah, she did make a
good
point.
I'm not Bravo HQ.
I think, with that Garcelle thing, I think people were just saying if it wasn't Dorit, if it was someone that she really liked, would she let them get away with more, or would she call them out on the race stuff? And yeah, okay, that's a decent point. I feel like we're all that way, though. That's like, so relatable. You are kinder to the people that you know, that you're friends with, that you feel like have good intentions, and people who you rub you the wrong way, it's a little bit easier to be tough on them because, you know, you don't have that.
You're biased. Yeah, you're biased to the people that you really like, right?
Yes.
That's kind of what it tends to happen, so I get it.
Well, want to talk about the reunion part three. I thought this was the best of the three, so that's good.
Rob through the Potomac, yes. Amazing.
I had multiple people reaching out to me because I said the week before that I thought the big thing that Gordon was going to announce was a bipolar diagnosis. And within like 30 seconds of it starting, that's exactly what he said. And it's just interesting because I it was hard for me to see how other people didn't see that necessarily, because I'm like, okay, he got kind of cut out of the family business, but they didn't take the shares away, right? Like, right. They want him to have funding. They just don't want him to manage money.
Yeah. But you know, it's so funny. You are very clever, because I never would have thought that, but I also don't know much about bipolar disorder. I don't know if you like know someone who has it or experience in the medical field and things like that. But I didn't think about that. You know,
I've had direct experience with one family member, my grandfather, had, I don't even know if he had bipolar, but after my grandma died, he had elements and episodes of mania where he invested. I know because it was money, because he was like obsessed with this like weird investment and he lost all this money through it. And, you know, and he was just in a vulnerable place. And he eventually remarried, and I don't know, everything kind of, he basically needed to be married in order to like mentally be stable. But so that wasn't really traditional, but I've known other people who have like the traditional sort of bipolar one diagnosis. And a huge thing is like impulsiveness and kind of traveling and spending a lot of money very frivolously, often during a very short kind of period of time. And then when the crash happens, when she was like, you wouldn't get off the couch for 2 months, I was like, ooh, okay. And when what we don't know about him is like that we haven't heard that he sits on the couch depressed. He seems like he's always kind of moving. So then I was like, oh, I wonder if it's both. I wonder if he has ups and then has downs and they've just become more extreme. And that would make a lot more sense why she was having difficulty with him. And if he wasn't acknowledging that there was a problem, which again, he explained it so well. He was like, this is a disease that tricks you and makes you think that you're not the problem. Everyone else is the problem. And I thought he did such justice to talking about that mental health issue and being so open and honest and vulnerable. I just, like, hats off to him. I am so grateful he shared that.
Yeah, my heart goes out to him and Mia, because I guess, you know, somebody who has a bipolar disorder, I'm sure that it's not easy to live with that person, because they do have like episodes where they're just mean, right? That's like part of it as well. Is that right?
Some people may be during like one of the phases mean. I don't know if everyone is, but it's hard because what I've heard from a friend that has been dealing with it for a very long time and is on medication that she believes is working, she says still every once in a while you have a manic episode. And she was like, you would think living with this for 20 years, I would be able to see it coming on, but you don't. And it happens, and it's usually a few days in. She's gotten a lot better at being like, oh, I'm doing this thing. Or I'm, you know, some sort of repeated pattern that she had done previous times that she was manic. And then she's like, okay, I need to talk to my doctor. Let's figure this out. You know, let's like switch up some things. But how wild is it to not, like when I get anxious, I have anxiety, I feel it coming. I know what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Even I may react like in a very over the top way, but I know I'm being over the top. Like, I can't imagine having something and your brain tricking you into thinking it's not a thing.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I hope that you know, they can kind of move on and forward amicably as co-parents. And it looks like Mia is really happy right now in her life. And you know what? I got to give it to Mia, even though, you know, her nickname is Mia B. Lyon, and she does lie a lot, but she is good TV and she is very real. I mean, I want to say that the last episode before the, you know, before the reunion started, the season finale, probably some of the best television that we've probably seen in a little while. You know, it was just so raw, so honest. And And she did not deny anything that Gordon accused her of in the moment, you know, and you could tell the feelings that were coming out of him were really very real. You know what I mean? So that was, you know, hats off to both of them.
Yeah. Cause I was starting to think, oh my God, is he controlling? And she's trying to escape his control because he drained her bank account. But then I rethought and I was like, I wonder if that's something he's also doing, is like maybe he's manic and he, in a frenzy, decided to like do something very impulsive. Not that it excuses it, it just explains a little bit more. And once you are able to understand why, it makes it easier to address the issues.
Yep, I completely agree with that.
The other kind of big thing, which I think we all suspected, which was that prior to the season starting, producers asked Wendy to introduce NECA onto the show, and she did not take well to that.
I think we all thought that. You know what I mean? Because I could see a world where maybe Wendy felt a little bit insecure in her job, you know, as a housewife of Potomac. She might have thought that she was going to be replaced rather than, you know, be a sister to NECA, right, on the show, be evil sisters, you know? So I could see that dialogue, and I could see it happening. And I really do believe, I mean, well, production said it, but that's exactly how it went down, right? Mm-hmm. They asked her about it. She said she didn't know her. And then things just kind of went south real fast after that, you know?
I don't think Wendy's insecure on the show. I just think she's insecure in everything in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen her change a lot dramatically throughout her seasons on the show, right? But to each their own, you know, I think she was scared that she was going to be replaced, really, you know. But it looks like she's staying on for another season. So, and you could clearly see, you were able to clearly see that Andy was favoring Wendy in this mm-hmm. reunion as opposed to NECA. I don't think they really let NECA speak that much, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's unfortunate. I think she had a lot more to say than she actually did.
I agree. And it's like there's room for two Nigerian couples. Yes. There's room for everyone. And it just makes me a little sad because it just didn't have to be this way. But I do like the idea of keeping Wendy without Candace, because the two of them together, just like Giselle and Robin, like they needed to break up Giselle and Robin, they needed to break up like Wendy and Candace. So now
yes.
Wendy's going to be on the show with almost no allies, and she's going to have to work to build bridges. And I also think Giselle might have to work to build bridges. And that's more interesting to watch to me than just alliances and people hating each other.
I agree with that. I think that Giselle is going to be put in a position this season where, you know, for this next season, where she's going to really have to work hard to kind of, you know, do her job as, you know, she's somebody that's on the show that's been there for a really long time, who has been first seat next to Andy for so many years, right? Ever since she started on the show. And then if you take a look at this reunion, you know, she was second seat. You know, she was next to Karen as Karen was first seat. So I feel like that sent her a message, right? Saying like, hey, you need to change how you are dealing with you in these situations at hand, because it doesn't seem like it's working. You know, it's not landing and people aren't moving forward. And you need to be able to like resolve issues in this type of, you know, reality to be able to make it work, right? And so I feel like now that, like you said, now that Robin is gone, now that Candace is gone, maybe even Wendy and Giselle might be able to come together and be friends.
Crazier things have happened. I would really love to see that. I like unlikely alliances. I wanted to try something. Do you want to try taking your AirPods out and seeing how the sound is? Because sometimes when I talk, I miss certain words that you're saying.
Oh, really? Oh,
Let me try.
Want me to take them off?
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That's better. Hold on, let me put these away. Just make sure it doesn't. Okay, perfect.
Okay, guys, we took a very quick break because I think Jose's audio is much better without the AirPods. So we are heading back in to Potomac. Sorry, I should have said something earlier. It only was when, like, sometimes we would talk at the same time. I couldn't hear you.
Got it. See, I'm not a professional like you, so I have the right equipment.
I'm not a professional at all. I try, but I am not a tech person. So then I would say the last thing about Potomac is that we got to see Kierna, and I thought it was fun to see that she got along with almost everyone, even though she came in as like Wendy's friend. So I wonder if they may elevate her as a full-time or just a friend of again, because Wendy is heading in with like no alliances.
Yeah, you know what? I could see that because I feel like she, you know, like you said, she gets along with everyone. Like when she was on vacation, I felt like she had no trouble like stepping up to like Giselle, telling her how she really felt about the situation. Same with like Robin and, you know, and Candace and Ashley situation. You know, she always had some good advice and something to say, right? I think she said along the lines like, you guys aren't hearing each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like she could possibly be a full-time cast member. And I feel like she's probably got a lot to give. I think the only thing that I personally did not like is that I felt that at the reunion, you know, she insinuated in a way that Ashley was, you know, the mastermind behind the fight that happened with her and Deborah at the GNA fashion show, because, you know, I'm starting to become friends with Ashley, and she's amazing. She's never shown an ounce of like that being her personality at all, right? Like, I don't think she's would ever instigate a physical altercation between anyone. You know, she's got kids, she's grown up, you know what I mean? She's not like a, you know, like a 21-year-old that's like looking to fight, you know what I mean? So that's the only thing I didn't like. And I hope that her and Kierna can come back from that comment, you know? But I'm just not sure about that. But hey, not everyone has to get along.
They could. No, I know. I think they could get. Yeah, I agree with you. Ashley is always willing to be messy for the show. She definitely stepped in it this year when she mentioned the Nigerian culture stuff that she didn't really know about, the audience didn't really understand, and yeah, she stepped in it with that. But I cannot imagine, and she, you know, and she apologized, right? And but I cannot imagine her like wanting someone to have like a physical altercation or supporting that.
Yep.
You know, I don't see that as part of her personality, or it's also not good for the show. It looks trashy.
Yeah, I don't like. I really don't see most cast members on a reality TV show nowadays, especially how, you know, times have changed, to get into or instigate a physical altercation. Because nowadays, a physical altercation a lot of times could, you know, it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, right? And that could get you fired, right? And at the end of the day, this is a reality TV show, but this is also a job. And these cast members on these shows, these are jobs that they usually want, right? So, so that's why I don't think it's anything that was malintent or malicious or anything like that. So,
I agree. I really hope that they can get everything together for next season, because I know there's all these people saying they want to boycott it now that Candace isn't on. There's the continued accusations of colorism and the inability of people like Giselle to actually talk about that, which I feel
it's like. Are you seeing this on like Twitter and things like that?
Yeah. And just, you know, people I know who watch the show who feel that way about Giselle in particular. You know, and it's just like, it doesn't hurt you to acknowledge that maybe this exists in the world and that maybe because of where you sit, it's just like white people and racism. We all, you know, lighter skinned people have been raised in a racist society and you pick up things that you shouldn't, right? And then you have to do all this work to try and see where you, what you learned that, you know, you need to unlearn. But I feel like the same could be true with colorism. And it's just the like inability to talk about it at all does seem, you know, I don't know, weird, not weird, just like, come on, just have the conversation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I stay off Twitter. I stay off TikTok because I think I'll go down these rabbit holes and never be able to get out of them. Honestly.
I know Twitter is tough. I have a limit. It like shuts off after a, like 15 minutes. Yeah, it shuts off. Otherwise I'll like doom scroll, but I need it for like political reporting. Like I follow like a bunch of reporters and they will post things before it hits like the news. And sometimes it's helpful.
Okay,
like when people resign from Congress that are on a very important committee. I'm like, ah! All right, oh, let's head over to Los Angeles and go into Vanderpump Rules and then the Valley. So can we start by talking about how last weekend DJ James Kennedy played, he DJ'd for Taylor Swift and did a remix of Cruel Summer while she was there dancing and partying.
I would have lost my mind, honestly. I am a big Swiftie and obviously like a big Bravo fan. So what I would have done to have been in that crowd at Neon Carnival, you know, I'm sure it was unreal, to be honest. And what's a little mind-boggling is I wonder if Taylor Swift knows who James Kennedy is.
Okay, I've been wondering all week.
Like, does she know who he is? Does she know anything about Vanderpump Rules? Does she watch reality TV? You know? Has she heard of Scandoval? But, you know, I did get a little tidbit. I think she does watch some reality TV because, you know, I don't know if you've ever listened to the New Heights podcast, which is Jason Kelsey's and Travis Kelsey's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But he was talking about how he watches Love is Blind.
I could see them Travis Kelsey watching that together.
I could see them watching it together. You know, because what else? If he's watching it, I doubt he's watching it by himself, right?
Yeah.
So guaranteed she watched this last season of Love is Blind, at least this last season. So she could very well have watched Vanderpump Rules or know who James is, you know?
That is, I bet she knows who James is now.
We can't forget Teresa Giudice now. Were you going to bring that up too?
Oh my God, I totally forgot about it.
Oh my God.
How do you think that conversation went?
Well, it was Taylor Swift posing with a fan for sure. Not the other way around. But you know what? I could be wrong because it could be, again, like it could be that Taylor does watch reality TV. And if she did, it would make sense that she would know who Teresa is. I mean, she's one of the most iconic housewives. You know what I mean?
Right. It also could mean that I just think she's someone who's very kind to everyone that she meets and makes them feel very special. That's sort of the type of charisma that a lot of like extremely famous people have. So, you know, I'm sure Teresa was like, oh, yeah, maybe she knows me. But the level of fame of Taylor Swift is just very hard to wrap your head around.
It is. It almost like breaks your mind seeing her in a crowd of other people. And it doesn't seem like there's like much security around her when you were looking at those videos, you know?
Yeah, I did see one guy like when they were dancing, like her and Travis, there definitely was a dude like right to the left in the screen who was like towering over and was not smiling at all. And everyone else was like, so I'm like, okay, she definitely has security with her, which makes me feel better because I am worried. There are a lot of crazy people out there who stalk her.
Well, Teresa Giudice did, got a picture with her. So,
yeah. So funny.
But no, that picture broke the internet. I mean, I think it had everybody up in arms.
Oh, people were angry?
No. Like
Oh,
in a good way,
excited.
people couldn't believe that this was happening. You know what I mean? I guess up in arms means angry, but you know what I mean. You
Okay.
know
I don't know what it means,
what
honestly.
I mean.
So the thing that I love about this season of Vanderpump Rules, and I feel like everyone else is annoyed by it, but I love that they keep breaking the fourth wall and that we're seeing their real reactions to what's happening, like what we remember happening. I
Yeah.
remember when Rachel went on Bethany Frankel's podcast and it was three parts, and I was like, I'm not listening to that. I'm sure other people will, and they can fill me in. And then to know now how it was received by the cast is this is exactly what I'm looking for out of Vanderpump Rules. I just want the show about them being reality stars. I don't need Lisa Vanderpump. I don't need Tom Brunch and how it took 5 years to like bring a brunch around to Tom to please. And all it needed was like Tom Sandoval showing up with some freshly squeezed juice. What the fuck?
I
Five
mean,
years in the making, please.
that's funny you say that. So back to, breaking the fourth wall. We've been seeing that more and more on across all the Bravo shows. And
Yes.
to me, it's fascinating. I love when they break the fourth wall. I really do. Because it's you have to acknowledge you're on a reality TV show. We've been watching these people for a long time, and like they know they're famous, so it's kind of weird for them to have to pretend that they are not, you know what I mean? Or that they're not celebrities and that people talk about them, or that they made the headlines, so it's really, I think it's more refreshing, and I'm glad that they're kind of taking this route. And I feel that I actually feel, sorry, going back to Housewives for a sec, I feel like the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip actually paved the way of this
Yes.
fourth wall breaking,
Yes.
which
100%.
is
Season
really
one.
cool. Yeah. So anyways, I'm fascinated. I love it. Love, love, love it.
Because we got a little taste of it. Not the fourth wall necessarily, but like in season two of Real Housewives of New York, where it's like, are you talking to whatever that outlet is in New York that they all send each other shit about,
Oh, page six.
Page six, are you telling stories to Page Six? Did you call Page Six on me? Did you know what I
Yeah,
mean? And that was sort of
that's
the
true.
beginning of acknowledging that they had some sort of notoriety. But I thought the notoriety wasn't because they were on the show, but because they were well known in New York society. Now it's clear that it's about the show, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I love it too.
What did you think about Tom Sandoval's reaction to Rachel's what she revealed on the podcast?
I don't know, because I feel like Tom Sandoval has proven to be such a liar that I'm not sure I'm buying that he really feels this terrible about his loss of Rachel, at this point in time. I think that, yes, maybe like right off the bat when he was going through all of this hate and, he felt alone. I could see it then, right? Like right at the beginning of all this, but now we're looking at this like 4 months later, 5 months later almost now, And I don't know. It's hard for me to really believe that he's sincere in his feelings, to be honest with you. I think he might just be trying to look for a little bit of empathy from people and to try to be a little bit less villainous, but I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about this?
I think that he has convinced himself that if you're in love, then you can do whatever you want. And so he's lenient to the fact that he was in love because this is his MO, right? When he was with Kristen and they did not formally break up, it was kind of like on the rocks. He told himself that everything that went on with Ariana was fine because he was in love. And then when he got with Miami Girl, he told Ariana to lie for him. Lie, we're in love now. You know what I mean? And then when he's done with Ariana, does not actually end it with her formally, is living with her and is carrying on a 7-month long affair because he's in love. And I appreciate the one thing I agreed with what Rachel said was she thought she was in love with him and she realized that's not what love is. And that was the only thing that she said that made any sense in the entire three parts.
Well, I would agree with that because I feel like you can't formally or openly and honestly love someone if you're in another relationship already, because that, what kind of character does that make you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're someone who's willing to do this and lie and scheme and cheat like that, why would you even want to be in love with this person? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I totally see it that way. I see Rachel's point, you know what I mean? In that sense. And I think that even goes back to, you know, my point. I don't feel like he was really that much in love with her, you know? I feel like he loved the idea of always being with someone, you know, loved the idea of Rachel. And I think he also, you gotta remember, I think he also wanted an ally, you know, on mm-hmm. the show. I mean, at the beginning, he was hoping that Rachel was going to come back in film, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what he was looking for as well. You know what I mean?
What a mess. And then she went on Instagram and was posting what seemed like almost pre-made videos, which was weird. It was like, get these, like the cut of this episode early? Did someone leak it to you? Because what it did is it would say, it would show what, I don't know if it, which order it was in, but it would show like Ariana saying we weren't that close of friends. Like that's what she's saying. And that's hurtful because we were. And then it would cut to what Rachel said about Ariana, which would only back up what Ariana was saying. But for some reason, Rachel posting it thought it vindicated her. And the only time it vindicated her was the thing about Tom and love, where she's like, I thought I was in love with him, but I realized that's not what it was. And that made sense in her little vignette. But it's like you post four videos, one about Sheena, one about Sandoval, one about Ariana, and one about James and Hippie. And the whole thing, it does not make you look good. It actually makes you, it buys into James's story, Ariana's story, and Sheena's story. She's like, I paid rent. And Sheena's like, she paid $1,000. My rent's $4,300. She had sex in my bed. Like, she, like, this is not her having it. She's not pulling her weight. And
she was not.
And for her, I don't know, she has terrible people surrounding her. It's obvious to anyone with a brain that she has surrounded herself with a team and that they see her as some sort of cash cow that they can use and make money off her sharing her story over and over and over again. Every possible small aspect of this months-long affair is being rolled out on this stupid podcast. She brings in mental health professionals and does not do justice to their profession. And it's just a joke. And it's really sad because if she really cared about her mental health and if she really learned anything, she would leave the environment that got her to where she was in the first place. And she's back in that same environment. She's still in LA. Like, girl, now is the time to go to grad school. You said you always wanted to be an occupational therapist for children. Now is a fantastic time to dive into that.
I mean, I truly think that if she was going to continue a career as a public figure and have a podcast, then it would have made more sense for her to stay on Vanderpump Rules, you know, and actually face her demons. And then she would actually have more to talk about on this podcast rather than just explaining yourself after the episodes air, you know? It's we're not having a watch party here, or you know what I mean, or a rewatch party is what I meant. So it's I don't think she went about this the right way, but it's clear that she wants to remain in the spotlight in some kind of capacity. Maybe she just didn't want to be in that environment, but I think that she is, you know, she's like most people. Once you get a little bit of taste of fame, right? You don't willingly back away from it. You know what I
I
mean?
don't understand that. I would not want that taste. It sounds miserable. It's so scary. The idea of getting hateful messages from people and people recognizing you that you always have to be made up. Like, what if you want to leave the house in sweatpants? Like,
Yeah.
everyone digging up stuff on your family. And I don't have any taste for it. So it's hard. Like, even this podcast, I don't care if people listen or don't. Like, it's just not my. It's, I don't know, but I get it. I understand that if you have this interest in it, right? And you go to LA, and I think a good percentage of people in Los Angeles do have this interest, you're right. It is hard to walk away.
I can see it, you know.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
I've, you know, I had a small little taste of being in reality TV, and I actually can say that I miss the production aspect of it. Truly, it was fun to do, okay? And you build so many relationships, whether it be with producers, directors, the production assistants. Those were the closest people to me while I was filming, you know? And when it's all over, it kind of leaves a little bit of a void, you know? So it may
Okay.
not necessarily be just about the fame and the glory, but you build relationships and friendships with these people that you're working. These are your coworkers, basically, every day.
I can see this. It's sort of like I've been in a few musicals, and you get all tight with the cast and the director and the music people and the crew, and the lighting folks, and you go to practice all the time, and then you have your shows, and then all of a sudden it's over, and it's so sad. And that exact makeup of people never fully comes together again.
Of course,
So I feel like with plays and musicals and that, I could see that. And you miss the experience that it was. It's amazing that you had a positive experience on reality TV, because I think a lot of people watch themselves back and are horrified or don't like how the footage was used. And, I'm sure that you had that experience with certain parts of it, but in general, for it to be overall positive,
it was
kudos to you.
overall positive. I mean, yeah, like you said, there were some things that I was not happy about, but also it's reality, and there were some things that I did that I was not happy about, you know.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you have to kind of take accountability. But here's the thing: like a lot of my old castmates, we're still. This was 4 years ago, and we all live in different parts of the country, and we make an effort to stay in touch. A lot of us, you know, every time I'm in LA, we get together for brunch and have a good time, and it's just like. It's something that kind of bonds you for life, right? It's such a unique experience that not a lot of people get to experience, you know? So I think that it's a really cool world to be in, really.
That's so interesting. I wonder if some of the camaraderie is like that's what James felt for Sandoval. It was they were friends, but they also were friends on a show together. And
Yeah,
then now
absolutely.
you watch, and there's still sort of frenemy almost. It was nice to see James actually say the stuff to Sandoval that I want to scream at the TV, such as real love was what you had with Ariana.
Yep,
What you
I
had
agree
with
with that.
Rachel was a fuck fest.
Yeah.
And he like went in disgusting detail, but that's exactly what Sandoval was doing. And he's like, "You don't understand, man. You don't understand." No, you don't understand what your own behavior was. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to see someone throw it in, his face. He's wearing that shirt dipped out. Like, come
Oh my
on. This
God,
whole
that's
thing's a
such a
joke to
flop.
you. You were so, yeah. Anyways, what did you make of Lala's sperm donor party?
Oh my God, that was so cool.
I loved it. I loved that the moms were there. Allie's mom was there. I was like, who's that woman? They're like,
Why
Allie's
did
mom. I'm like, oh.
why did Lisa think that there was going to be actual sperm in
She
her backyard?
doesn't. She just likes acting like she is so prude despite not being prude at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like her thing.
That was a fun little party. But I also love every time they throw an event at Villa Rosa.
Me too.
That place is so gorgeous, and I feel like it really elevates the show, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever they do a party there. So I always enjoy anytime they have a little, you know, a little get together or whatever it is there. I was pretty shocked at when Allie just told Katie that Lala was talking about her behind her back. And then I truly was shocked, you know.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to maybe even like walk it back, and she didn't. And the funny part was later on, you know, when Katie brought it up to Lala, and Allie totally got that wrong, because they did roll the camera back.
Yeah,
they rolled the tape.
I feel like that was production pushing Allie to say what she was thinking, rather than to keep it in, and it didn't come off very natural. It was kind of like, normally I wouldn't tell you this, but because we're filming a show and we're supposed to be transparent, I'm going to tell you what happened. But it was good. It moved the story along. I really felt when Lala and Katie were talking that there was a love there, and that they both wanted things to get back on track. And it makes me quite upset that Lala has been trashing her, because Lala has never met a relationship that she is not willing to ruin.
Yeah, I agree with that, because you could really see in that scene that they were both moved. You could see Katie tearing up. You could see Lala cried. And it's sad to know that right now Lala's kind of at odds with her and Ariana. But thinking back at it, I also think that this could be due to the fact that I think that there's just a little jealousy on Lala's part in regards to not really in regards to Ariana's successes. I think her and Katie's relationship.
Yes.
I think that Lala is jealous of Ariana and Katie's relationship now.
And you know? Do you know what I think? She also thinks part of it's phony. And what I think is going to come up at the reunion, based on something I saw Sheena during an interview, they were asking her, it was like an interview between Sheena and Katie about their Chili's commercial. Okay. And she said, you know, asked kind of Katie, and Katie kind of not blew off the question, but gave a non-answer. And then Sheena was like, well, I think Lala wanted people to be honest at the reunion about things they were telling her. And so my assumption is that Katie complained to Lala, Ariana is off doing all these things and she's not focused on the sandwich shop and we can't open it because she's not here to be a partner and she's not prioritizing it. And look at, she's going off Dancing with the Stars and she's not even giving me a heads up, and I'm her business partner and we're paying rent every month. Yeah. You know, like, I'm sure she was bitching in her moment and processing what was happening. Does this mean that she never brought it up to Ariana? No. Does it mean that she's not being honest by not talking about it on camera? Maybe. I don't know. I think she was just venting, right? And I think Lala wanted that venting to come out. And when it didn't, she just got frustrated and says everyone is a liar and you're all fake. When really, there's so much shit that she had said or thought that she has never brought up. She's not like the ultimate honest one. So it's really annoying. And I think Katie knows how to be loyal. So she knows there's certain things that she's just not going to bring up. And I get it. And Lala is loyal to no one.
Yeah. But you know what? I do appreciate the fact that, you know, both Lala and Sheena are kind of helping the show move along.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, by engaging, even if they don't necessarily like him yet, with Sandoval. Because the thing is, you can't have a TV show when it's a divided show. I mean, it just doesn't work. You know what I mean?
I 100% get them filming with him and being in a cordial relationship with him. What I don't get is the vilification of Ariana for not doing that.
Yeah, I feel that that is what production is kind of doing, in a way. I feel like
They're
this
annoyed.
season, yes, I feel like this season they're editing it because you know how it goes. They want somebody to have a really good season,
Yeah.
and then they want everybody to love them, but then at the end of the day, they like to switch things up on us, right? Because if not, then what, it would be too predictable, right? So I feel that they are purposely trying to villainize Ariana, and just make her seem that she is somebody who cannot let go, who cannot forgive, who's really angry. Which, if your partner of 9 years cheated on you with your best friend, I mean, you deserve to be as angry as you want to be for honestly as long as you want to be. It's a little different when you're on a reality TV show together, right? Because
Yeah.
the point of reality TV shows is you have to kind of mend fences and move forward. But I can still see how 3 months later, 4 months later, that's still really tough to do. So I feel for Ariana.
I do. I get it. I just feel like Lala, what she's done since, not what she's done doing on the show necessarily, what she's done since the show wrapped. That's what I have an issue with. Going on podcasts, I agree with James Kennedy. He was like, I'm so tired of podcasts. They should be, I think he said this on the after show, like they should be banned. Like we shouldn't be allowed to be talking on podcasts because now the show is actually a show about everyone talking about everyone else on podcasts and everyone's reaction to
Yeah, that's very
it. You
true.
know? So I would rather them save things for the camera and then shut up until we get to see it. But this cast cannot shut up. Speaking of not being able to shut up, let's head over to the Valley. So, were you at all shocked to see sort of the actual truth between the relationship between Jax and Brittany and kind of how he talks to her and that kind of stuff?
It was a little sad to watch, right? Because I felt, to me, in my mind, after all these years of them being together and everything that Jax has put Brittany through, I feel like this is the time of their lives where he should have grown up by now and treat and start treating people the way people should be treated. And yeah, it kind of broke my heart when Brittany was talking about the fact that he puts her down a lot, that he gives her gives her attitude because she's hungover or whatever, makes her feel bad for going out with her friends. Like, you don't want a partner that does that to you, right? Feel good. So I can totally see how they're not together right now. How do you
I
feel about that?
do agree with Jax on one point,
On
which
which one?
is her going out and drinking is a bit
You think she does it
excessive.
too much? Is
Well,
that?
it just, you shouldn't be going out and drinking so much that the next day you vomit the whole day. And
That's,
we've
I
seen
agree with that.
that twice, like in one episode, right? They did a recall of that happening, and then that happened. Like she couldn't even get do a ride home without vomiting the whole time, leaving vomit on the driveway. We also saw one of the seasons that she was on Vanderpump Rules that she had a stomach ulcer and was told to stop drinking and would not. That was really worrisome to me that she was not prioritizing her health. I think she has normalized binge drinking to a point that it is actually not normal. And it doesn't matter whether she's a mother or not a mother, it's not serving her well. And I could understand, especially as being a parent. With him being like, I want my co-parent not to do that because it's not, then that person can't, help you out that day or that kind of a thing. But what I don't like is how he has different expectations of her now that she's a mother. That I don't like, like you wanna, what did he say? He said, you want more kids? Act like a mom. She is a mom. She's acting like a mom. She just happens to maybe get carried away with the drinking. And if you're really concerned, come at it with love. Be like, listen, even if you're annoyed, I am concerned. It's also kind of annoying. Like, I want you to have fun, but I don't want you to get to the point that you vomit. And that's happening a bit too often. So, like, something needs to give. You have to figure out either stop drinking or figure out how to have just a couple drinks. And, you know.
I agree with that. I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes to relationships and communication, it's really, a lot of times it's about the delivery, right?
100%.
And I feel that Jax lacks that, that capability of, you know, really reeling it in and putting his emotions to the side and just have a normal conversation with someone without the other person feeling attacked. And I feel like that doesn't happen just with Brittany, but with all his friends for a long time, you know?
Yeah. No, he is awful and treats her. And I don't like that he's always putting down her appearance, is what she's saying. And her appearance has changed a lot, like, since she first came on the show. And like, including just whatever procedures or injections or things. And I feel like she's doing that to try and stay beautiful for him so that he'll desire her. And in the meantime, I don't know if it's what she really even wants to look like.
Yeah.
You know, like, did she really want those huge boobs? Does she want her eyebrows to, like, go that high? I don't know. Maybe she does. Maybe that's it. But it feels like she's chasing a look so that he'll still desire her. And he should not be talking to her that way. We've got Nia hosting this girls' night in Malibu and opening up about what's likely postpartum depression.
Yeah,
which
that was sad to watch.
It was sad. It was so relatable, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I obviously, like, I have no idea what that feels like, you know. But I've heard stories and I've read articles and, you know, and I can see how that can be really tough for someone. And so, you know, honestly, I don't know if a TV show is good for somebody that feels that way, you know, or it could be a teaching experience. You never know, you know, but I'll be honest with you. They're not my favorite couple on the show.
Aww. You know,
do you like them?
I do. I like elements of it. I am a little judgy just about the fact that they have newborns, and, like, normally when you kind of, at least for the first 8 weeks, try not to do a whole lot, go anywhere, because you, like, really don't want your kids to get sick, and they're very vulnerable at that young age, especially if they were twins and likely at lower birth weight. But I think they're a sweet couple. I think there's stuff that hasn't been shown yet that we will see that kind of makes them a little bit more real than, like, this sort of fairy tale thing. But it is nice to see a man who loves and respects his wife and is, like, likes being a dad and wants to be a partner. Like, that part I appreciate.
I agree with that. It seems like they do have a pretty solid relationship compared to other couples on the show.
Yeah. Who are your favorite couples on the show?
Oh, I have to say Janet.
Yes, Janet and Jason, 100%.
Janet is so funny. And Jason seems like a stand-up guy. He seems like a sweetheart. You can tell their dynamic that they are truly a happy couple. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of rare to find sometimes on reality TV.
Right? Yeah. No, Kristen, I 100% agree.
Like, what do you think about them? That whole situation.
I think Kristen has not changed a whole lot, despite claiming that she has. And I really did think she had changed. Maybe it's because I hadn't seen her. So I was like, oh, she must be doing personal work. And man, is she like, she's this young boyfriend, which, honestly, no shade. That's awesome. But them talking about, like, I can't wait to go home and have sex and then smoke and then have sex again and then smoke. And I'm like, how old are you? Is this really what you enjoy? I'm so confused by her. And if you really are a good friend, right? Yeah. Like, truly, you will hold on to some of the secrets that your friends tell you, and you will wait until it's the right time for that to come out. You will let them own the story. It doesn't mean that you approve, right? Like, if Michelle is really cheating on Jesse. But I think what happened is that Kristen was in a bad place with her ex. Michelle was in a bad place with Jesse. They would bitch to each other about how awful their partners were. They would open up very deeply. Kristen moved on from that guy, got a new guy, isn't in that position anymore. And now is like, you know, throws Michelle under the bus, like lets this whole narrative about her being a Republican and racist and all that stuff come out, even though I believe those things were said.
I do too. I, you know, and thinking back, not from just this last week's or this this last episode, but the one before as well, or the one where they had the whole blowout fight, right? And remember, Kristen said, "I don't worry," something along the lines like, "I will keep your secrets."
Yes.
I have a feeling that she shared that secret with Luke as well, which on this week's episode.
Yeah.
I feel like he was insinuating or alluding to the what Kristen had mentioned in regards to a secret. And in my gut feeling is that it has to do with Michelle cheating.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I also think that Jax knows based on how he was in the pool. He his eyes got real big and he like looked down.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe, I don't know how he found out. Maybe Kristen told him. Because I have a feeling that Jax and Kristen are in cahoots to make this show really good. And both of them are willing to throw friends under the bus and willing to do anything to make this show be one that people watch, because there's nothing they love more than being reality stars. They're willing to ruin their marriages. They're willing to ruin their friendships, you know. Ugh. Okay, final thing. Do you think Kristen is an empath?
Well, clearly the validators do not think so. They threw her way under the bus. I mean, she was roadkill at the end of that. I mean, that was pretty comical. That whole scene.
So funny. So funny. Oh my gosh. Anything else on any of these shows, Bravo related?
You know, not that I can think of. Oh, I'm sad that BravoCon 2024 isn't happening.
I know.
That is so sad, because that's like my reunion with a lot of my Bravo friends.
I agree.
So that's really, really sad. Andy Cohen, if you're hearing this, please reconsider.
I heard it was an NBC Universal decision because of the Olympics. And I get it. Like, it's a company that can only do so much at one time. But does this mean that, like, when the Winter Olympics are happening, that we also won't have BravoCon? Because that will piss me off to keep doing it that way. I am very excited to go back to Vegas. It was a great venue, and I want to be back in 2025. This year, I think I'm planning to potentially go to Mexico, or maybe I'll go to LA. I don't know. But a couple friends and I were talking about getting out of DC like immediately following the election, like within hours. We won't know the result anyhow, but just it is such a stressful, like, you remember after the 2020 election, those like multiple days where we didn't know who won. It felt like we were in a pressure cooker, and it was just a bad like physical and mental feeling. So, I would rather just be somewhere in Mexico snorkeling.
same. I might have to come up with my own plan.
Come. So, I think we were
just reminding me.
I have a friend that works at Hilton, and we get friends and family for like all the Hilton resorts. So I think we were just gonna like choose something that was easy to get to, and actually where we had to make no decisions, such as like an all inclusive, which I don't think I've done in Mexico since 2010. So
sounds fun. Keep me posted on that.
I will. I'm literally telling everyone. I'm like, hey, just letting you know that like this is a thought. And so if we end up booking, y'all should book too.
Keep me posted. I'm definitely intrigued. So
will do. Well, okay, Jose, tell everyone where they can find you, where they can watch you, and anything else you want to plug.
You can find me on Instagram at It's me, Jose Ramirez, Joseramirez. That's really the only platform I really use. I'm really not on TikTok. I'm really not on X. I'm barely on Threads, you know.
Oh my God,
I can
Threads. I
only
forgot
do
about that one.
so much, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's really about it. I mean, if you're looking if you're looking for to buy or sell, I'm a licensed DC realtor, Maryland, Virginia as well. So, you can find all my links in my Instagram bio.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We'll definitely have to
Me
have you back,
too.
and we need to
Yeah,
get
I
brunch
love
soon.
this. This is so fun. Okay.
Definitely.
All right, we'll chat
Take
soon.
care.
Bye.